This project is supported by funding from the Institute for Diversity and Civic Life, made possible by a grant from the Henry Luce Foundation.
For some background, the Dallas Mexican American Historical League, DMAL, is a 501c3 organization dedicated to researching, collecting, and preserving the historical and cultural experiences of Mexican Americans in Dallas from the early 1900s to the present.
Through DMAL, the Emerging Historian Cohort is a contingent of young professionals assembled by DMAL lifetime member Rosemary Hinojosa in order to pass on the legacy of preserving our local history to the next generation of historians.
Nos puso la vida. Dejé todo, mis amigos, mi familia y mi ilusión. Y aunque allá he pasado los mejores años de mi vida, decir esto da tristeza, pero acá estamos mejor. Pero acá estamos mejor. Como extraño ver yo.
As a beautiful place with beautiful places, and there are a lot of amazing colors that nobody would thought would see, and I would describe it as having the best like eating places. Está el CI, las tacas de la esquina, especially el elote, and I grew up being there, like right there in the corner. So it would be going to El CI and then like having a walk to El Fiesta by Jefferson and then coming back and then, you know, just do regular things as a family. And I think that Oak Cliff was a really huge part for my childhood.
My favorite parts of Oak Cliff were just going to the park with my family and just, you know, playing like soccer or something. But it was a beautiful place. I forgot the park name, but we would call it the Colorado Parque. And after, we would sometimes like wanted a refreshment, we would go to a paleteria en frente del Parque Colorado, and I think it was I forgot the name of the paleteria, but it was just going to the park with my family and just spending time with them and playing with them. And when we would get tired, we would, okay, let's go to the paleteria en frente del Colorado y agarramos un ice cream. Ya del ice cream nos regresamos al parque, nos sentábamos y viendo. In el parque había un like a fountain of water, and we would see the fountain just splash, and it was just something, it was something amazing.
I would describe Oak Cliff as home because you get to taste a lot of amazing food. Especially, I remember the location of the Stella Paisanita on West Davis. Antes era una lavandería where we used to go a laundromat. Y creo que, you know, that Paisanita there makes it even more special because we used to remember, we used to go running to la lavandería. My mom would say, let's go to the lavandería. And now the lavandería is a place to eat, especially tacos. And you know, tacos are just so good. And I think that Oak Cliff just has a lot of good restaurants, especially Mexican-oriented restaurants. And I think that us folks, as Latinx people, you know, we grew up really eating Mexican dishes at home. So having Mexican dishes outside of home, like these restaurants, are just a huge connection to Oak Cliff. And I think that brings us back to, you know, having our culture just here and being feeling more comfortable around each other.
For me in Oak Cliff, something that I always remember is the grocery stores, right? El Rancho, El Rio Grande, La Michoacana, Because we don't really see those groceries outside of our community, right? In communities that are majority Latinx, Mexican origin, right? All through Jefferson Boulevard from corner to corner, right? So Oak Cliff is a beautiful place and a growing place where we get to experience a beautiful childhood.
Hello, my name is Juana. Yes, a typical name from Mexico. I'm a first-generation, first-year student in college. I go by the pronouns she, her, ella, and I identify as Mexican-American, Latina, or Chicana.
Hello, my name is Nelida, pronounced Nelida, and if it's too hard to pronounce, just call me Nelly. People call me that, even teachers. So I am an incoming junior at my high school, and 2 to 3 things interesting about me is that I am a writer, I'm very straightforward with people, and I identify as Mexican-American and Latinx.
Hello, my name is Olympia. I'm a junior in high school. I identify myself as a Latina.
And this is Maestro Alonso, a first-generation Mexican immigrant and educator in Dallas, Texas. Thank you for listening to the first episode in Season 2 of the Chronicles of Dallas Barrios, in collaboration between the Dallas Mexican-American Historical League and students from a high school Mexican-American Studies course. In this season, we will highlight immigrant narratives of a Dallas barrio known as Oak Cliff. In this episode, you will hear from the Joven historians who helped make this season possible through the coronavirus pandemic. Continue listening as Olympia, Juana, and Nelly share what it was like taking an ethnic studies course and their journey in making this podcast. Throughout the school year, we have been reading Mexicans in the Making of America by Neil Foley, who made the argument in the book that the United States, from the moment it signed the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, ending the war with Mexico in 1848, sealed its destinies and Mexico's as two nations, separate and unequal, and extremely linked by geography and bound together by generations of Mexican Americans and Mexican immigrants. In your opinions, how do you think that this podcast supports this argument?
I think that, especially now looking back at the interviews, I think that the book and the interviews make a great connection, as how in the book they describe that there's been waves of immigrants coming to the United States, but the bigger wave has always been Mexicans coming to the United States, and it keeps increasing over time. And I think that this proves a point that, you know, there's this wave, but, you know, we're always targeted as, you know, illegal immigrants. And I think he makes a point of saying that, you know, we're always targeted, even though all other immigrants are also coming, probably for the same reasons. And some of the interviews that we interviewed also describe that, you know, when we face difficulties in America, you know, we are always pointed at and not giving like a good of a chance to really prove ourselves as as a community in total.
I think that it does support, because the moment that it's signed, it may basically separated it from being one part to two parts being completely different, and there's different stereotypes in between two of them. Like the United States is being the American dream, and then Mexico, it seemed like being there, they don't have a lot of options. But then when they come over here, they look at America as if it's a new opportunity to have new chances. But I think that it changes once you're here and see how critical and stereotyped the American is. because once you realize, it doesn't seem like, oh, it's the American dream where you get new opportunities, new jobs, new this, new that. No, you have to work for it and still manage to understand how the stereotypes fall into place in so many different ways.
I also agree. It's like just seeing how we all come to the United States just to get, just by like reading the story and listening to like my, like the people that we interview, it's just hearing them like, okay, well, I come, and it's a difficulty because you try to, you know, try to not get caught by the immigration. Yeah, like you try not to get caught by them, and so it's something for them. It's just like how I heard, it's just like they were crossing, well, they were driving and they were crossing, and there was like an immigration right there, just standing right there, like, okay, well, let's hide. And then after they kind of left, they started walking, they started like just going. But at the same time, it's just like, just hearing that was like, oh, well, they know, but okay, well, this is what I want to follow. I want to have my dreams. So I want to come and have a better life in the United States. And it's something that people come just to, like, they come to work, they come to make, to have their kids or their family to have a better life than they, what they had. Yeah, they would have a better life too, but they would want for their kids and for them to have the same thing also. And yeah, that's what I have.
That's really interesting in the way in which all three of y'all describe the support that folks want when they come to the United States. And it clearly shows that specifically here in Oak Cliff, that there's like the connection between Mexican Americans and as well as Mexican immigrants, especially through families, and how that change is continuing to be a web of generations. So that's really interesting. And I love how we are able to make the connections between what we see in our community, but as well as what we have been learning in our classroom, in our Chicanic studies class, right? And so what's even interesting as we develop this project is the way in which we come to think differently, right? And it's okay if y'all disagree with what I'm gonna say, right? Y'all correct me if I'm wrong with this. But like, it feels like when we took Chicanic studies, it had us think differently, and it shifted our mindset of the way in which we see our community, our schools, and our relationship with one another. So my question is, would you say that's true, that Chicanic studies course ended up changing our mindset of how we interact with one another and how we see our spaces we interact with?
I would say it did change, because you see it from a different perspective. You don't see it from the white American perspective, as we've been taught maybe from first grade all the way to whichever year we're taking this course. I think it has shaped, especially in how we view ourselves as individual in white America, especially because we're targeted as, you know, maybe relatives or family members of these illegal immigrants that come to America. But in reality, you know, we come for a shared dream, maybe a stereotypical shared dream, that, you know, we have a better life. But in reality, I think this course has taught us that the American dream is stereotypical, and it hurts us as individuals, as family members from the Mexicans that came to America.
So what just to clarify, would you say what you're trying to say is that the American dream is false hope?
Not necessarily, but I would think that family members are coming with this hope of the American dream. But in reality, I guess they do achieve it physically, but mentally for us, you know, we're always set with this standard of, you know, maybe we're, I don't know, maybe we are superior to them because we're Americans. But in reality, compared to the whole system, we're not as equal as we should be to, let's say, an American that has American parents, if that makes sense.
No, that definitely does. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
I think that it did change. It did change my mindset and how I think and how I view things now, because back then, before I took the course, I always thought that there was like help, like legal, like I'm going back with the legal help and jobs and stuff like that. But now that I'm realizing and viewing things from this mindset that I have after taking the class, it made me realize that there's not a lot of people who can actually help us and who has experienced the same things as our parents or like us. So also with Juana said, I think that it changes the way how things are told to us as like the American dream, or like we have to do this, we have to do that. But it changes it in a way that we realize things now that we never realized before. Like the American dream, we thought it was, oh, it's you have to come here and stuff, do this like that. But now we realize that it's not like that. It's never gonna, we're never going to be, I don't want to say this, it's, we're never going to be equal enough as a white person, an American person. It seems like we're never going to be enough for the government.
So what would you recommend in order for us to be enough, right, to be seen equally?
I would recommend more representation, and so we could be viewed and seen as individuals who want new opportunities and new chances, and hopefully we're not stereotyped.
Thank you so much, right? I think that's critical in the ways which we discuss moving forward, right? And especially the lessons that we learned from our interviewers, representation matters. Right? Representation is key in how we fulfill these spaces and the actions that bring us to building a better world. And so that even gets us to the next question that I have is like, what did you like about taking this Mexican American Studies class?
What I like is that, so I was the first, it was the first year for this Chicanx class in our high school. So I decided to join, and the thing that I really enjoyed is that Mr. Alonso made us do, not made us do, but it was a project we did in Alebrije. And Alebrijes are very connected to the Mexican culture, especially for the Dia de los Muertos. You know, Alebrijes guide our ancestors to travel to that, I guess, to the side of the Muertos. And I think that, you know, he made us choose, he gave us, I guess, freedom to choose what animal, you know, if it's air, water, fire, land types for that alebrije. So I think I really enjoy that one because we made it from scratch. Like we did the periódico, we did everything from scratch. And I really, really enjoy that, and because we learned something that is so fundamental to our culture. And, you know, some of these classes don't have things that connect back to our culture. So I think that does that specific project made me feel like, okay, I'm valid as a human being. I'm valid as a Mexican American woman in this country. And, you know, just having that little project just clicked on me. I was like, okay, you know, I am seen, you know, this class is really, really helping me.
I would say that the favorite part of taking the class was not only learning and reading the making, what was the book called again? The Mexicans and Making of the America by Neil Foley, but also meeting him in Zoom. And it was a great experience. And also playing Loteria. Loteria was mainly extra credit, but it was great to see how mostly everybody in our class knew what we were playing. And I've been playing Loteria since I was a kid, and knowing that I could play Loteria in the class was really fun. And also just speaking Spanish, because I'm native. I personally like speaking Spanish better than English, and I can speak Spanish better than English. And knowing that I could do that in this class made me realize that, you know, I might as well just speak Spanish for the rest of the school year and rest of my life, you know?
The favorite thing of in the Mexican American studies was the project of knowing our life, just starting like to start reading like the story of Nelly Foley. Just, I never knew, because I came as like a baby to Texas, so I never knew how it was in Mexico, where I was born. When my mom started to show the pictures, started to tell me, oh, this is how it looked. This is where you were born. This is how I was, where I grew up with. And just learning about it was like, oh my God. Like, I was just like, so like great. Like, I was like so shocked by like just seeing the stories, like different people telling me, oh, see, like, I forgot the name, but I think they call it the El Toro. No, or I forgot the name, but she told me about the name of it, but I forgot. And it was just something that I was just like, oh, mom, I'm so happy that you grew up there. And I was happy by one of my tias giving me one of her casos. I forgot what's it called. I don't know if you, I think you remember, but it was just seeing those different things, seeing all those shapes of it, like the colors. It was just like inside of me, I was happy because I'm learning about my, see me, so I was like just learning how they would cook, how would they do los frijolitos y todo eso. And como dijo Nelida, just doing la lotería was just something that I kind of play lotería sometimes. It depends how my family wants it, but just playing with my family and playing with y'all, it was something amazing.
Right. Those were some of my favorite parts. Y'all gonna make me cry. When Juana took the Mexican American Studies class, Chicanic Studies class, the first year we had it at our school, I didn't know what we were gonna do. And so we're like, let's do Alebrijes, right? That's what we first started to do. And I just I remember as you were talking, Juana, I just started to remember how we will listen to music and we'll just start to like get into our zones to just mold the legs, the body of our animals. And then our presentations at the end of when we finished, everyone's was just so connected to who they were, right? With the colors, the shapes that were on there. And then when we brought Neil Foley, I thought that was really cool because not many times do we get to see the person who wrote the books that we're reading in our classrooms. But that Aconocimiento project that you were talking about, Olimpia, is yours was one of the best cajitas that you turned in, because I remember you came in with yours that had pictures of your whole family, yourself, and then you even had items that were specific to where you were from, right? Such as like el caso that you were saying, and the different like tools that you have to cook, but a little bit of the clothing, the textiles that you included in there, right? And the lotería game, that was one of the, I felt like that when we played that, we all forgot about our stress in school, right? Because we were doing this through the pandemic. And we just, when we played, it was just like, all right, no school. Schools, we're not going to be paying attention to school. We're just going to be paying attention to ourselves. Y convivimos. We shared memories with one another. And I hope that's something that you end up taking with you for the rest of your life. And even Olimpia, when you become a teacher, hopefully you start to see how can you make those connections as well, right? What you learn, bring them into your own classroom. And I think we already started to get a little bit into this question, right? But why do you think it's important to take Mexican American studies or any other ethnic studies courses in high school?
I think it just really brings out different perspectives and gives us a broader spectrum of thoughts. You know, you grew up with, I guess, the white perspective of how the U.S. was made, but we never really thought on how, you know, like you said, that treaty of the war that Neil Foley mentions.
The Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo.
Yeah, that one. We really don't get to see how much of that impact really impacted Mexican-Americans, Mexicans that were living in that territory. We were always told, oh, you know, the United States just won it, you know. There was more land for them to conquer. So I think that just really brings out the focus, you know, our history is important, you know. If you want to keep learning, then I guess just on you. But, you know, just having an ethnic studies course really just sets the mindset of maybe of the person who you're going to be in the future.
I think that it's important because I've learned that my parents are even more open about talking about immigration and stuff like that. And it made me realize that we mainly didn't have that connection. And I think through this class, we were brought more together as a family. And I spoke more than enough Spanish and less English. And sometimes I would speak Spanish to my non-Spanish speaking teachers, and I would have to translate it all over again so they could understand. But also, it's important because we have to know what happened and how the government is trying to sugarcoat everything. And I just think it's important overall to learn what happened to our ancestors and how it is still affecting us today.
I think it's important to take the classes, because it's like how Nelida said, it's like you're learning about it, you're learning about it, and at the same time it's like you get closer to you start understanding like about what they're talking about what they try, like, yeah, what they tell us about it, stories, and then just at the same time, like, other people that don't understand what we're going through or what they don't understand. It's like, it's something that they would have the classes and they would, okay, well, if you don't know about what the Mexicans and the Mexican American studies and just taking those classes and learning about it, they would get excited too, if that makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. Because what I'm getting is what, once again, right, affirming what we're all saying, that we need to take these classes para que we learn about our own histories, but as well as for others to learn our histories, ¿verdad?
Mm-hmm.
That's, That's beautiful, y'all. That is great. Right. And so why did y'all end up participating in making this podcast, in interviewing folks from the community in order to make this possible? I know there was a total of about 180 students enrolled in the Mexican American Studies class. And we had a bunch of folks who helped us throughout the process. But at the end of it, y'all are the ones who ended up participating the most in the production of this podcast. Why was that?
First of all, I wasn't even in the class for the second year. So I just ended up because my sister was in the class and she just talked about, you know, she was making this project. And I was like, oh, okay. And even Mr. Alonso had reached out to me, but I was very focused in school. I was stressing out. We were like in probably closer to finals. So I was like, oh no, I can't think right now. But then finals ended and the semester ended. So I reached out to him. I was like, oh, can I do your project? He was like, oh yeah, sure. And I think the reason for me to participate in this podcast was that I got to learn more about the person I interviewed. I learned more about their story. I knew their story, but it was just from a different, I guess, perspective. And I kind of like understood because I have the book of Neil Foley. Mr. Alonso gave it to me. So I've been reading it and I can see those little connections from the book and from their story coming to America. So I think that podcast just really, it's just like Mr. Alonso said, it's just a plática. And it really just, you know, brings us together. You know, we have our differences, obviously, but it just brings us together as a community. Just, you know, growing up in Oak Cliff, seeing, you know, not enough representation, not enough ethnic studies classes for us to take, you know, just this space in this moment to really just concentrate in ourselves, in our community.
I ended up doing the project because, one, it was a class grade. It was for the Mexican-American class, so I ended up doing it. And then I was a bit hesitant at first, but then I realized that it would make me learn more about the person I interviewed even more, like further. And also, I think it was a great idea to do it because it taught me so many things. It taught me the different point of view, and like reading the book the whole year, it made me realize that, you know, this should be a good idea and people's lives should be mentioned more, especially for Mexican immigrants, because they don't really want to talk about it as much. So this project made me realize that they should be heard and they should be listened as well.
The reason that I why did I join the project of making the podcast? It was because just when Mr. Alonso said, we're going to do this project. And well, I knew it was for a grade, how Nelida said. But at the same time, I was excited. Just because I would be learning about the history of my family. And also because just hearing the different stories that my uncles and my aunt said, it was just hearing it, it made me realize that it was kind of easy for them back then, but now it's different. Now it's harder for the people who are coming. And just participating and just writing or hearing these stories made me, at the same time, it made me emotional, to be honest, just because at the same time, I was kind of scared for them, just because now, seeing them right now, like now, I get closer to them. Like, I wasn't closer to them back then, but I'm closer to them now, now that we have gone through. But just hearing the stories, and it was something special, emotional. Yeah. That's one of the reasons that I participated. just to hear different stories from different people and different, and just from my classmates, just hearing other people's stories too.
That's great. You know, I hear a lot of strength, a lot of empowerment behind y'all's voices as we talk about the interviews and the making of this podcast. And so a very famous quote by a Chicana author, Gloria Anzaldúa, says, I changed myself, I changed the world. How would you say that participating in making this podcast, being part of Chicanic Studies, Mexican American Studies, how did it change you? Or would you say that even it changed you?
I would say it did change me. How I'm still learning through that process, but I guess the beginning would be that, you know, I am a woman, considered a woman of color, you know, maybe have a lower, don't have as enough privilege as maybe a white woman would in America. But I think that just overall, it has changed me. And I also, right now, especially in the media and social media, you get to see those little impacts on how, you know, you get to see the outside world. Like recently, I noticed that Eiza Gonzalez, she's a famous Mexican actress. She's actually doing a movie on the famous actress Maria Felix. And she just talked about how she felt very proud because she's portraying someone from Mexico. And I think just seeing representation, maybe representing our own people, just made my little like Chicana heart melt. Cause I really felt proud. And she also talked, you know, as an actress, she has gotten stereotypical roles in America. And now she's trying to expand her like roles more so that more females or more Chicana females get to really see themselves out there in the media.
I would say that it did change me. It definitely did change me. I'm still learning and experimenting how and like why things are happening, because now that I've taken this course, I realize that you notice the little things in the real life, in the real life world, like little things. You notice how sometimes it's for like the white people, and sometimes it's, you know, you notice the little things in how the government works and stuff like that. Also, like Juana said, Eiza Gonzalez, she's representing herself. She's going to be acting in a role for a Mexican actress, though she is a Mexican actress, but also like that in like TVs. But when it's like government and stuff like that, we see so little of representatives and stuff like that. So I hope that it changes me to the point where I know how and why it changed me.
What is one piece of advice that you have for a high school student?
One piece of advice I would say to just take the class, just take an ethics studies class and go in with an open mind, because it's definitely going to change you. You know, it's definitely going to change your perspective on this outside world that we're living in today. So I just say, just go for it. And, you know, just enjoy yourself in this class,
because like we've mentioned, you know, you guys play Loteria and it's a typical game in Mexico. You know, when we sit together in the familia, you know, put in the little frijolitos and whatever, ¿quién va a ganar? You know, o apostando. You know, it's just those little things that connect you back to your roots, or like I said, making the alebrije. Who would have known that I would be making an alebrije in high school, you know, but just taking the class, enjoying every bit of it, and, you know, just going with an open mind.
One piece of advice I would tell high schoolers now, like Juana said, just go for it and take the class. It's going to be fun. You will enjoy it at the end. And like she said, playing Loteria and making things, making projects, making this podcast is going to change you, definitely. And just be open on whatever people say, as in like their point of views and thoughts, because their point of view or perspectives might change your own perspectives and views. Also, I would like to say to not procrastinate.
The one of the pieces of advice that I would give a high school student is that, yeah, like how both like how Juan and Anita said, like, yeah, take it, because when you take it, like, in like at first you're gonna say, oh, like why did I take this class, like why, like start questioning themselves. But the reasons, by taking this class, you're learning about your history, you're learning about where you came from and what your family came from. And at this time, it's like for them, it's like, well, why would I want to have that? Because at first, like for me, I was like, why did I take this class? Well, for a reason. Well, yeah, like I did at the same time, to be honest, I did ask myself why. Like, well, like at first I did not know what it was, what class, like what did it mean? But when just by continually, like when y'all talked about it, I was like, okay, well, this is a good class I'm taking, you know? Because I'm learning about my history. I'm learning about where I came from and where, and just hearing how different stories. So yeah, I would actually give them an advice to, yeah, take it, because you will learn from it and it would help you.
All right. Thank you all so much for participating in making this podcast, but as well as taking the time to do the interviews and as well as speaking for yourselves. Throughout this whole project, I've seen y'all, or even throughout the whole class, right? I have seen each one of you all grow to be independent, brilliant young women in Oak Cliff, in Dallas, in Texas, in the United States. And I am so excited to see the future and we all are all going to go towards. So thank y'all so much for this. Bien sabido que no es fácil ser amigo de la ruina. Aquí vengo tras de un sueño que no lo he logrado aún. Que no lo he logrado aún. Y allá donde soy, quedó una casita, yendo trabajando a dejarla bonita. Tengo la ilusión de llegar a ser viejo y ahí pasar. Dios me presta vida. De allá donde soy, todos extrañan amigos sinceros que tienen palabra. Y también tengo al amor de mi vida que me espera con ansia. Un día volveré y voy a secar con besos sus vino así. Y aunque sé que me estoy perdiendo de cosas que nunca vuelven,
Lo que duele, no saber si los volvería a mirar, si los volvería a mirar. Y allá donde soy, quedó una casita, yendo trabajando a dejarla bonita. Tengo la ilusión de llegar a ser viejo y ahí pasar los días. Un día volveré allá donde soy, si Dios me presta vida.